You can open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. We'll get there in just a minute. A few weeks ago, I began then what I did not know would become a theme. I struck a chord, at least as it's ministering to me personally, and I think to many of you who may be going through a time in your life right now where you're feeling a squeeze. Some things are not quite as comfortable as they once were, and as you would like them to be. Sometimes going through a transition, losing a little bit of flexibility, just some of the wind perhaps missing from your sail, and you know God is up to something, you don't know fully yet what. He's preparing you for a new season, and you don't know what that will look like, and you've got to go through this to get to there. Today I want to talk about our value, our design and purpose. I'm talking about the making of a vessel of honor. Have you ever taken an object that perhaps had outlived its usefulness and given it new life and a brand new purpose so that it could become useful again in a different area? That's what God is up to many times in our lives. I spoke a few weeks ago a message I called Same Clay, but New Vessel. That's how God works with us, like the potter and the clay. We learned a couple of weeks ago that God sometimes speaks a word to his people. However, there are times when he has a revelation so powerful, he uses a visual to get his message across. Not just an audible spoken word, but he shows us his revelation in an illustrated form. That was the case when God said to Jeremiah, I have a word for you to deliver to my people, and I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there you will receive my word. So the prophet Jeremiah went to the potter's house, and in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 3, Jeremiah wrote, and there he was making something at the wheel. The prophet walked in obedience to God's word, walked into the potter's house, and here's what it said. There the potter was, making something at the wheel. God is the potter, we are the clay, and he puts us on the potter's wheel to design us and to shape us. Sometimes that requires he reduce us from what we have been in former days so that he can redesign and reshape us. But when we're on the wheel, others can look at us and all they see is the potter is making something. And that's lack of identity at that time. We're not sure. That's why we need to be careful when we look at other people and what they may be going through. It's easy to look at somebody and recognize something's not quite settled there. I don't know what that's all about. What's the deal with him or her? What are they up to? What's gone wrong with that? But be careful, because God may have them on the wheel, and all you can tell so far is that the potter is making something. Don't know what. Don't know what God has in mind just yet. The finished product has not been revealed. It's still a lump of clay on the wheel. Jeremiah looked and said, and there the potter was making something on the wheel. We can look at one another and not know the details of everything going on beneath the surface in one another's lives. We don't know what that something is yet that God is up to when we're on the potter's wheel. Brenda and I, several years ago, drove through Nashville, Tennessee, and spent a day with our good friends Laverne and Edith Tripp at their home. And on their back porch, we were rocking in the rocking chairs, overlooking the backyard. And I noticed on a table in the back porch was an old shoe. The shoe looked like it had to be 100 years old. Just an old, ugly shoe. It was like a work shoe. It looked like a shoe that maybe a coal miner would have worn at work for 50 years. I mean, just an old, ugly, worn out, worthless shoe. But in the shoe, it had been filled with dirt and a live flower growing out of this old shoe. And I said to Edith, I could tell it was her handiwork. And I said, Edith, did you plant that pretty flower in that old, worn out, ugly shoe to put on your back porch? That's sort of eccentric and whimsical, Edith. That's so much like you. And she said, yeah, I did. My dad passed away a couple of years ago. And when we were going through his things, I got that shoe. My dad wore that shoe many years of his life, and rather than throw it away, I brought it home and planted a beautiful flower in it, and it's sitting on my back porch. And I thought, what a perfect example of taking something that's old and used and worn out, and most people would see no value in it. It would be pitched into the trash can, but Edith saw something of great value still in that shoe, and she repurposed it, and it's still probably to this day on their back porch in Nashville with a beautiful flower in it. Same clay, new vessel. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 4, we read this a couple of weeks ago. And the vessel that the potter made of clay was marred, ruined in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. The Amplified Bible says, the vessel was spoiled in the hand of the potter. I can't get a handle on that with my theology, because I would like to think that anything that's in God's hands should certainly never be called ruined or spoiled. But here it is. This clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. But God is so good to each of us that when he sees an imperfection or a flaw, or we become less than useful, perhaps as we once were in a certain area, rather than throw us away forever, he makes us into another vessel. He made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. The Message translation says, whenever the vessel the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you're working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another vessel. The New Living Translation says, the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay and started over. Now, I don't like the potter's wheel. Hello, this is a lump of clay talking right now. I don't like the potter's wheel. I like to stay the same. When I find a comfortable rhythm, I like to just settle there. It's all right to stay there for life. That's the opinion of this lump of clay. But the potter who values us and designs us and gives us purpose according to his will for our lives in the earth looks at us and sees it differently. Sometimes we will become spoiled, and I have been spoiled, haven't you? Hello? Any parents in here who love your children and you have spoiled them? No, not in this church. No. When the vessel the potter is making does not turn out as he had hoped, he crushes it. That's what I don't like about the wheel. Being crushed, feeling the pressure, feeling the squeeze, losing some comfort and flexibility, not fully understanding what is going on right now and why am I having to go through this? Oh, this does not feel good. But the potter's saying, I'm crushing you and making another vessel. I'm starting over with you. Why would the potter treat a lump of clay like that? It's because God needs instruments, not objects. He needs a vessel of honor that is sanctified and useful for the master's service. And all he has is us to work with. He needs an instrument, not an object. When I was a little boy growing up here in Florence, my family and I attended Willow Creek Church. It's still a church in existence today. It has another name, but it's the same building. It's about a 10-minute drive from here. That's my childhood church, the church I was born into and attended that church until my early teenage years when my dad and our family moved to Timmonsville and he planted a church there. And one memory I have of the Willow Creek Church, the church of my childhood, is there was a man who attended the church. He was a country man. He didn't dress up with nice clothes. And every now and then, this man would come to church with a handsaw. Now, many of you younger people probably have never held a handsaw in your hand. But you know, it's a metal object with a wooden handle. It's got teeth on it. And you use it to cut trees. I don't know by experience that it works like, but I think that's the purpose for it. And this man would come. Daddy, where are you? You're out there, aren't you? There you are. Coming on up closer, I see now. You may remember his name, Daddy. He would bring his saw and a violin bow, you know, the bow that you would use to, and he would sit in a chair on stage and he would take that saw and he would bend it to just the right angle and he would strike the edge of that saw that was used for cutting trees. He would get the angle just right and he would play music. Daddy, do you remember his name? You know what I'm talking about. You don't remember his name? You do remember him bringing that saw in the church, didn't you? You remember Deborah? Yeah. That man would take an object that most people used for one purpose, and he would make an instrument out of an object. Made beautiful music. It was amazing to me. I still have the picture of that man playing a musical saw in my mind. Now, for those of you who've been in our home, you know when you walk into the front door of our home, if you look to the right, through double doors, the first room you see in our home is my office. I have an office in my home. It's a dignified place for me. Every time I walk in it, I call it a dignified place. All of us need a place where we can be alone with God together. And when we furnished that room to be a private study and an office for me 10 years ago or more, I had everything in place, the desk I wanted. I knew I would spend the rest of my life at this desk in large part. So I wanted just the right desk, and I'm a little different. I couldn't find the desk that I really wanted, you know, to spend the rest of my life sitting at. So I went to the office supply place here in Florence, and I said, I don't see anything in your showroom that I really am looking for. Do you have a catalog maybe I can look through? And they said, what kind of desk do you want? And right out of my mouth, I said, oversized and curvaceous. And I don't think they'd ever been asked for a desk like that before. Oversized and curvaceous. That's just how I like my desk. But I didn't get one like that. But one that I can still. But I had all my furniture in place and everything, my files, everything within. I mean, it's so functional and tailor-made for me. Except for one thing. One thing was missing, and it had to be perfect for me, and I couldn't find the right thing. And so Brenda and I went to some store, TJ Maxx maybe, is that where it was? And the last thing that I bought for my office at home was this beautiful vase. I mean, for those of you listening on podcast, you're missing now the graphic. I'm holding in my hand this decoration that's been in my office at home for more than 10 years now. It is a beautiful colored vase. It's an oversized, curvaceous, come to think of it, flower vase. It's made out of glass. It's about 18 inches tall. It's big around, maybe 10 inches around at the top. It has a beautiful shape to it. I mean, it is a vase that could hold a beautiful plant and could be a gorgeous centerpiece in the island of a kitchen or wherever. That's what it was designed to be. Most people who bought this probably put you could put a tree in this thing, actually. Well, you could probably put a 6-foot tree in this thing. Beautiful. But I've never put a plant in this, even though that's what the object was designed to do. This is in my office as a garbage can. Well, no, wait. If you walked in my office, you'd say that sort of fits. Well, he didn't have no ugly old plastic garbage can in his office. He's got a nice little trash can going there. For 10 years, this is where I've put my trash. This is a trash can. Really? Is it that wild? Is it that? Really? You're going to judge everything about me based on my taste in trash cans? My point is, I own it. And it can serve me according to my purpose. Because I own it. I'm happy with my trash can. I don't want dirt and a flower or a tree in this right here. It serves me well according to my purpose for it. I bought it to put trash in. Now, if this thing could talk, boy, the stories it could tell. When I came off the assembly line, I was planning to hold a beautiful flower. I was made to be put under the spotlight, and everybody walking in the room would notice me and comment about how beautiful of a flower vase I am. Sorry. You have been repurposed according to my plan, and get ready for some trash, because that's what I want you to do for me. The trash can don't talk back. It just serves the purpose of the owner very well. Years ago, is it okay if I just ramble a little bit? Usually I'm on point, you know. Years ago, Brenda gave me for a birthday a 1 hour massage at the McLeod Fitness Center here. Now, that's not supposed to be funny either. Now, first of all, it's for men too. There's some men going up in there. And secondly, you should know, she did it to give me a birthday gift. I didn't really want to. I never have been back. It's a professional thing. It does help a lot of people. It helps with stress relief. It helps with physical therapy. They are professional. They're certified. They know what they're doing. And for, I think, 50 minutes, I sat there and listened to a flute on the playing that soft music. I think incense was burning. And, you know, it was decompressing. It was all right. But now I've never been back, never want to go back, because I just don't require pampering like that. No, I just didn't. Now, we do have friends who go every month. It's a thing they like, and it's all right for them. I'm just not into it. It was a gift from my wife, and so I went and redeemed it. I don't ever care to go again. But here was what I faced when I walked into the reception area, and I was a first-time client. And they said, well, Mr. Morris, if you would please fill out this one-page questionnaire, my name and information. And they asked me questions before the therapist could get me on the table. They wanted to know the answers to certain questions. And questions like, do you have any physical disabilities? Do you have any medical issues we should be aware of? Do you have a history of back pain? And, of course, on that one, I said, well, yeah, I have a little history of that. I have an L4 and an L5 that's been an issue. And sometimes it's a little sensitive, but a chiropractic friend has helped me with that. And I've put all this. And then they came to this question and said, would you like any deep work? Now, I've never been there before. And I didn't know. Deep work. And it just didn't hit me. I didn't know. And sometimes I've learned, this is my problem. This is a flaw in me. Sometimes if I'll think about something for a half of a minute, I'll get it. But my problem is I'll ask too quickly. If I'd have just sat there and thought about it, it would have come to me maybe. But before it came to me, I just got up and went over to the reception. I said, excuse me, I don't understand this question. Would you like any deep work? What is deep work? And as soon as the receptionist told me, I said, oh, I should have known that. But she explained to me that the therapist would take his or her hands and not only rub your back or your shoulders or wherever, but would literally press and apply a lot of pressure and go deep into the skin and deal with muscles underneath the skin. And I said, oh, no, I'm not the kind of person who likes deep work. Spare me the deep work. And that's the way all of us feel on the potter's wheel. We may have some problems beneath the surface that are demanding pressure and some deep work, but it doesn't feel good. And so spare this lump of clay from any deep work. But the potter knows what we need. And he will put us back on the wheel and crush that lump of clay and start over with us and make a brand new vessel. Same clay, different vessel. He knows our value, our design, and our purpose, and he's all about the making of a vessel of honor that can serve him well. We never really know how surrendered we are or how resistant we are to God until the finger of God touches us. Like the hand of that potter designing the lump of clay and making something brand new. Some of us have to get back on the wheel from time to time, if for no other reason but to advance in our spiritual development. If you don't know what I mean by that, Paul said it clearly in the New Testament. He said, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. I played like a child. Mature people had to come and feed me and clean me and bathe me and do it over and over and over again. I couldn't even walk by myself. When I tried, I would fall flat on my face, and somebody who was more grown than I was had to come and help me back up so that I could try again. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. But Paul said, but now that I've become a man, I put away those childish things. Some of us have to get back on the wheel simply because we remain a child longer than we should. I'll tell you what you don't want to hear God say. You never want to hear this conversation with God. You never want God to come up to you and say, well, hey, I have a new wheel and I'd like for you to take it for a spin. You never want to hear God say that. When you find yourself on the potter's wheel, it is a sign that a new season is about to begin in your life. In Romans chapter 9, the New Testament talks about this potter's wheel and the process. Romans 9 and verse 20 says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? I don't like the tone of that. Be careful. We should all be careful. Don't reach a place in the journey and in the process of God redesigning and reshaping and repurposing us to where we get frustrated even at our Maker and blame Him that we are this way. I just saved somebody's life. Lightning was getting ready to strike somebody. And that storm has moved over already right now. Just somebody got it right then. Somebody said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to blame God for this mess. Who would dare say to the one who made him, why have you formed me like this? Verse 21, does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Now, don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean God makes junk when it refers to a vessel of dishonor. Hello, remember my trash can? It thought it was going to be used for one thing, but the owner is getting an honorable use out of it for an entirely different thing than what this beautiful flower vase thought it was meant for. The most important thing is, does it serve the owner's purpose well? And this trash can does. Some would call it a vessel of dishonor, not the owner. It's serving the owner's purpose right fine. And even if there is a season when you are a lump of clay that is nothing but a vessel of dishonor, it only means you've got another trip to the potter's house ahead. And when God is finished ultimately with each of us, we will all bring honor to him as it pleases him. Oh, let's please not be a lump of clay. By the way, look at the person sitting next to you. Look at that lump sitting next to you. Just look at that lump of clay. I mean, some of you are looking around and you don't know much. You see a lump. You know the potter's making something. You can't tell what yet. But none of us should say, why have you made me like this? Here's why. Because clay doesn't talk back to the hand that molds it. The Message translation says the potter has a perfect right to shape one lump of clay into a vase for holding flowers and another lump of clay into a pot for cooking beans. God knows our value and determines our design and our purpose. I'll close with this verse of scripture. It again comes from the New Testament and confirms this process that God is working in all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. The Message says, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver plates, but waste cans and garbage disposals. Some containers used to serve fine meals, and others used to take out the garbage. Hey, none of us have arrived. Look around the room. You can see that the potter is making something. That's all we know, something. Because he's not finished. The end result is not clear yet. God is still working in each of us. Our job, if we want to be a submissive piece of clay in the potter's hands, is just to let him shape us. He knows our value. He's the one who is designing us, and he's doing it according to his purpose. And whatever honors him from my life, that's what I should be interested in. Whatever service I can provide for his purpose in every season of my life, that should be my motivation. Not what pleases me or you, but all of us should be most interested in how we can serve him and his purpose for our lives. I want you to remain seated. I'm going to share a music video with you. It's just a few minutes long. I want it to be a prayer for you. At the end of this music video, we'll give opportunity for personal prayer to minister to some needs you may have. There are many needs in your life. And before you leave, you can receive prayer for that. But I'd like for this to be our corporate prayer. It is a song. Some of you may want to just watch the screen as the song plays. Some may want to sing along as worship. Some of you may want to bow your heads and close your eyes and listen to the words, do whatever you need to do to make this song your prayer.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call.
that your prayer this morning. Will you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. And I'd like for the men and women who serve on our prayer team to come forward and take their places. Bow your heads, please. Is that really your prayer this morning? I give myself to the potter's hand. Lord, whatever you're up to in my life, I yield. My prayer is that today, regardless of how rebellious some of us have been, that today we will find it easier to surrender than it is to continue any longer in rebellion and resist the design of the potter's hand as he works in our lives. Father, thank you for the word of God that speaks clearly, brings explanation to some as to why things are going on in our lives like they are in this season. Lord, we're committed to the wheel. We're grateful to know that we are still in your hands and you are redesigning some of us, repurposing some of us. You know what our value is. We do not. And you have great intentions for our future. So whatever work needs to be done on the inside of us, we yield to the potter's hand. You are calling us with a holy calling. And you're preparing us for a new level of service in your kingdom. We thank you for speaking so clearly, Holy Spirit, not only for being a teacher to us today, but for bringing words that comfort so many today in this part of our journey. We thank you for your word today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Before you go out that door, you may have needs in your life, needs in any area. Some of you may need a prayer for healing. You may need prayer for financial deliverance, the healing of a relationship or a marriage. Some of you may just need a prayer of agreement to align yourself more perfectly with what God is doing in your own personal life. If you have any need for prayer, the altars are now open. You are dismissed and come and receive prayer for any needs that you may have. God bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.